Hello, everybody. It's December 13th, 2023. This is Fiona filling in for Tony. And tonight, Zach had an idea that maybe he wanted to ask me a couple of questions about my journey into the Nanu rabbit hole. So I said, sure, let's do that. Let's see. Hey, Zach, I see you there. Whoops, I got some noise happening on my computer. Just a second. Hello, everybody. I see you guys coming in. It's Fiona again. Now, Zach, are you going to do the call in? We were going to do a little test on the sound, you guys. So don't, if you need to still get a cup of coffee or water or something, then do that. Because we had some major echoing last time, and it was starting to really mess with my head. So I'm gonna test out the sound. Are you able to call in, Zach? Or do I, here, maybe I can invite you to do so. There's an invite. Invite as speaker. Here
Can you hear me?
we go. I hear you.
Is there any
Yay!
echo?
At this very moment, I don't hear an echo. That's great.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Okay, cool.
Well, welcome to the Fioni Pantelaresco podcast. This is not your host, Zach from powerofthepulse.com. This is independence.podbean.com.
Where's the theme music?
Oh, I can organize that.
Yeah. Christopher is saying he's been hit the same way Tony is with scars and burnings and full of radiation.
Oh my.
Yeah, wow. You know what? I heard of someone in BC, British Columbia, not far from my friends and, a bunch of people that I know, who also has had some kind of, they figure some kind of radiation attack too. And it's actually quite interesting because it came from somebody's mouth that I just hadn't expected before. So I was like, ooh, there's really something going on. Like in different parts of the world too.
It's really global, isn't it?
I think
It's
so.
global
Yeah.
assault.
Yeah. Hey there. I see Eric says hello.
And
Everybody else?
I think there's a two-prong attack because we are getting more sensitive. And one of the reasons we're getting more sensitive, of course, is because we're being loaded with all of these nanometals that are extremely reactive to this and may potentially even amplify these frequencies.
Yeah.
And
Yeah, with
also
like,
because.
I was just gonna say, with the increase, I keep hearing people saying that there's more, like, I mean, there's usually some kind of chemtrail activity in the sky, but lately it seems to be a bit more than the norm. And then if they're also sending some sort of frequencies underground, like through the pipe, not piping, let's say piping, wiring underground. I mean, that's like you're in a radiation sandwich,
From above and below.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not a scientist, but when we talk about spraying metals into the sky and the atmosphere, that sounds to me like we're messing around with the charge of air, with the conductivity possibly of the
Right.
atmosphere.
Yeah. For sure. Hey, old-fashioned girl. I see you there. We'll get into it in a minute here. I'm just going to give people another minute or so to come in. And the sound is good, so we don't have to mess around with that. That's great.
Wonderful, wonderful. It's
Okay.
I think it might be because I'm using the bad the magnet headphones or earbuds.
Oh, the magnet
I
ones? What's
have
that?
so all of these headphones and the earbuds and whatever, I'm not sure exactly how they work, but there's a magnet in them. So you're putting that in your ear next to your brain, magnets, magnetic field. So
Right.
the earphones I have are this technology that that I remember seeing as a child, you know, like 10 years ago, and it's a lot better than then. But basically, the idea was that instead of having this electrical, magnetic, conductive earphone, what you have is some kind of way of translating the signals through into something, into sound that can be relayed through a tube of just air. So the idea is that you have this, they were called safety phones at the time. Now they're a lot more advanced, they're much nicer, but they're still quite low tech.
Are they called air tube?
Yeah, air tube. At that time, I'm not sure exactly now, but I got mine on recently off eBay. I can check those out if you want.
Yeah, AirTube. I don't have the headphones, but those are supposed to be like a lower EMF type of
earphone. Yeah, I think that the technology now wouldn't be perfect, but it's still, I would say, better. And I think it's better because the sound quality is worse.
Oh, yeah. You know what I'm using? I have a headset on, but I use this little thing. It's a little adapter that goes between the headphones and the computer. And it's called, I can hear that echo, but it's really, really faint. It's pretty far. Okay, it's from a company called SYB, Shield Your Body. And then this thing's called the Hard Protection, H-A-R-D, Hydrus Anti-Radiation Device. So it's supposed to reduce the radiation going into the headphones. I think it works. Sometimes it doesn't work on other devices. But if you can hear me okay, then it's working fine, I guess. Okay, you guys. So yeah, Tony's obviously still away, and but we did hear from him recently. So he's still alive and kicking, and you know, I don't think he's going down without a fight. I think he's okay though. He's taking care of things.
Yeah. Keep Tony in your prayers.
Yeah.
We need him, man. We need him.
Yeah, we do. A lot of us have had some life-changing, life changes because of Tony's help. That's what you were, just you suggested, Zach, is you were wondering how I got onto this stuff. So exactly. How about you be the interviewer if you want. I'll tell you what I...
Yeah. Wonderful, wonderful. But first, I thought we can play some intro music.
Okay. Oh.
You like that?
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
For anyone that doesn't know, that's Fiona's own intro on all of your videos, right? It's not just Bichu, right? Yeah.
No, it's I got it on my video editor app. I just picked that one.
Yeah, you have a nice logo as well.
Thank you. Yeah.
It's like a, what is it? Is it a spider plant? Cactus?
It's a cactus. Yeah, I chose the cactus because I was thinking of something that was like resilient and strong. And there was some kind of mothering quality about the cactus. And I can't remember what it was I was thinking of when I chose that a while back. And I got a designer to, you know, put something together with colors and stuff. For me, and now that I've grown some aloe, it's really cool how an aloe plant will sprout these little babies, and then you can take the plant out and separate the babies, and then you got a whole bunch of new aloe plants, and then they sprout babies too. So it's like you can have a whole aloe farm like within a year. It's pretty neat.
Aloe family.
Yeah.
Those things actually go multi-generational pretty quickly in the right conditions.
Yeah.
They can spread pretty fast.
Yeah.
All right. Well, how are you, Fiona?
I'm all right. You know, I'm. I've had one of those days that's kind of up and down with the health stuff, but overall pretty good. You know, I used my bucket today, but I don't have a normal bucket. I soaked my feet, and the bucket has the copper tape on it with the spike taped to the copper tape, which goes into the water. And so then
That's zap. The advanced version, isn't it?
I guess so. It's pretty heavy duty. Like, then you put the other pad on your stomach and your whole lower body just goes broop, broop, and it's like jumps. And
yeah.
So I think I'm detoxing it out.
That's great. If anyone's interested in the version of the bucket that you're talking about, it's on Tony's BitChute channel. Unfortunately, there's no short link, but if you go to BitChute and you search Independs, it's the last video called Double Barrel Buckets.
Right.
So check that out if you're interested.
Yeah, double barrel. I just use one because my feet are small enough to fit into one. And I think that's just the same.
Double is, I haven't tried it. I'd love to try it currently overseas, but yeah, it sounds like it hits you up quite hard. And I imagine with the double bucket as well, that would be quite extra.
Yeah. So where should we start?
All right, Fiona, we'll... You know, you have quite an amazing story, and you know, quite a transformation. And I think, you know, maybe we could help some people, you know, to tell a story that, you know, might be quite inspirational or insightful in some ways. Mm-hmm. So maybe you could start from the beginning, you know, like before coming to that part of your journey where you started healing and getting more results. What was your health like before that?
Before all that, it was pretty good. Like, looking back, like, major hindsight, I did have a few health issues growing up, like mostly headaches. As a small child, I don't actually remember, but I remember my mother saying they took me to a doctor and they couldn't find anything wrong. And then as a teenager, I had headaches a lot. But that was really about it. After high school, see, I was pretty active as a kid, and then I got a little lazy in my teens, and then after high school, I got active again, and I was hiking and running and doing martial arts, and I mean, I was pretty healthy, I'd say, riding my bike and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the symptoms came on without me really even paying much attention or noticing. They were so gradual that I didn't even realize it. So I was about 24. Mm-hmm. This is 2003. Mm-hmm. The end of 2003, I was 24 years old and started to have some stuff, which I didn't even, like I said, I didn't even pay attention to it. It was 2004, a year later, that I just had a routine blood test with my doctor. And they called me back and she said, oh, you have to take this medication. Your thyroid levels are too high. So I'm like, okay. So how long do I have to take this medication? She said, well, for most people, it's for life. That's all she said. And I'm like, what? okay, tell me, what is this? And so she said it again. And okay, what's the medication? Why do I have to take it for life? And, you know, it was just very short answers. And, oh, yeah, it's normal. So I was like, what the heck? So I went and filled the prescription and I read the paper and it said, it was Synthroid, a thyroid hormone replacement. And it's pretty common. I bet a lot of people listening probably know this. This seems to be even more and more common now too. Cause I do feel that this nano stuff and the heavy metals, they target the endocrine system.
Absolutely.
Among other things. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so that was the first thing that manifested with me. And as when I listed, or I went looked at the list, it said, this is treated for hypothyroidism. And the symptoms are cold hands and feet, poor memory, constipation, menstrual irregularities. I was like, check, 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 check. You know, fingernails falling apart, hair, your hair is just like it was flat and just kind of lifeless. And I had pretty much all of those. And it was strange for my menstrual cycle to be off because I was on birth control, which, like, controls your menstrual cycle like clockwork usually, right? So I was like, all right, I'll start taking this medication. And then I bought a couple of books on hypothyroidism. I found another book called The Autoimmune Epidemic. And that's I can't remember the details of this book, but it's a good read. I remember it being a good read because it talked about the rise of autoimmune disorders over the past, since the 90s at least, at the very least, and even more so now. Yeah, so yeah,
massive uprise somewhere at that point. I think 80s or 90s, there was just a massive explosion of those illnesses.
Yeah. So that was about it. I mean, 2004, and I started taking the medication and going back to the gym and doing, you know, just kind of going back to my normal life. And I did start to get like a fluctuation of symptoms, a rotation of them, like it would be migraines for a while. Then it was my bladder was starting to act up. The, you know, my memory and my anxiety were starting to increase. I never really had anxiety before, and I was starting to get panic attacks. And then in 2006, And then 2006, I had some kind of infection in the abdomen. I went to get checked. They said, well, is it appendicitis? So they all did the little test where they push on your tummy and then pull it out, they push in on your belly and then pull out really quick. And if you have pain, that usually indicates you have appendicitis. Well, that didn't work on me. So they're like, just here, take some more antibiotics. Maybe you have something else. So I did. Because at the time I was like, okay, I trust the doctors. And you know, my mom was a nurse, so I thought that was what you're supposed to do. Yeah. And
we were brought into believing this system.
Yeah. So along that part of the story short, I eventually actually had to have surgery, and I was not even in Canada. I had gone abroad for work and a short holiday, and I ended up having to go and have surgery, and it was the appendix that was rupturing and inflamed. And I thought to myself, if I'd stayed in Canada that summer, would it have burst and I'd have died? I don't know. So that was kind of a first look at like, maybe the medical system in Canada is not so good. And then the following year, it was more stuff, bladder problems, menstrual problems. I saw a urologist who wanted to put an implant in my bladder because it was so, I had like a really overactive bladder. Like I had to pee like 6 times a night. And I was like, 26 by that time. He said something like, well, we don't usually do it with people as young as you. He said, it's usually done with people in their 80s. I'm like, 80s, holy crap. Wow. I was like, I don't want an implant. So I said, I've heard about naturopaths. I had just heard about naturopaths at that time. I said, I'm thinking of seeing a naturopath. What do you think? He goes, they can't help you. And so I'm like, all right, I took his medication for a month. It was expensive and the side effect list was humongous. So I said, nah, I'm going to go see the naturopath. So I did that.
Good on you. Good on you for making that decision and not putting up with that brainwashing for too long.
Yeah, it just didn't quite feel right. And I did get help. Like I cleaned up my diet. The naturopath helped me with lots of stuff. I was drinking less. I cut out certain foods that were causing me problems. But it was still an up and down, like a roller coaster for the next few years. But and I was doing everything else. You know, I was exercising. I was doing meditation. I got in yoga. I got into all the different, lots of different little healing arts. Because it was a journey. I mean, even though I was ill, or getting iller, if I hadn't gotten sick like that, then I wouldn't be on this path now. So
yeah, sometimes our worst challenge ends up being our biggest blessing.
And then a little while later, you know, a few ups and downs and in and out of the doctor's office because I still had I had stomach pain and headaches and stuff like that. And I got tests done for celiac disease and diabetes several times. And it was all negative. And I was always told, no, it's negative. You're fine.
Mm-hmm. So at this point, you're in your mid-20s. You've been suffering for a few years. And you've started to clean up your diet, do some physical practice, some mindfulness practice.
Yeah.
And initially, was there some, you know, alleviation of symptoms?
Yeah, there was, especially when I saw the naturopath and I cleaned up the diet. And then I got into Kundalini yoga and I really fell in love with that at the time. And that really helped me with my stamina and my just like my mind and being more calm and stuff. I don't actually practice it anymore, but it was one of my favorites at that time. Several other things helped, like, what did I do back then that helped? It's hard to say, actually. Not much helped before 2013.
So at that point, you had had some alleviation of your symptoms, and yet you were still needing to, you know, do more tests and still dig after this.
Yeah, because I was still had the symptoms and I was getting weaker. I was actually physically getting weaker. At one point I sold my bike because it was getting too hard to bike around.
Wow.
I had to take the bus. I lived in Vancouver on this hill and it was getting harder just to walk up that hill. So I'd take the bus. I'm like, man, it's like a 2-minute bus ride. I can't even climb the hill.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So up to this point, if it's okay, let me redirect just a little bit temporarily and ask you at this point, like you're a young woman in her early 20s and you're starting to suffer what an 80-year-old is suffering. So if you look in, you know, the health of your parents and then the first 2 decades of your life, are there any clues as to what made you so susceptible?
There is now that I know what is going on, like with heavy metal toxicity, with the nanoparticle toxicity and the EMFs. Not so much. Vicky says Zach's voice is off in the background. Can you still hear Zach?
Hello.
I can hear you very clearly. I'm not sure about them. Just let us know.
Thanks for telling me that though, Vicky.
Yeah, the environment probably, because we lived in an area where like it was oil and gas country in Canada and Alberta. And a number of my family members who are from that area, even today, have a lot of the same stuff. They've either been diagnosed with Lyme disease or heavy metal toxicity, or like some suffer from mental illness related kind of stuff. And I think that it's environmental. Like I think that that area probably had a lot of heavy metals in it.
So is the water supply for your area from harvested from that area?
Yeah, it was.
Right. So that would be in the water as well.
Probably.
Funny how the safe and effective standards that they have over there just don't seem to be picking up on poisoning the entire population.
Mm-hmm. And also vaccines. Like I had a number of vaccines my whole life, like many of us.
It's a very interesting point, actually, because a lot of people sit and they say, you know, oh, you say that vaccines cause autism, and that's just a conspiracy theory, because look at all of these kids that get vaccines and they don't have autism, you know?
Right.
And this realization came to me a few weeks ago, which is when you look at the suffering and, you know, the immune system resilience of any baby, what you really need to look at is not only what was happening while the baby was in the womb, and the health of the mother generally, and the father, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in my belief, the father has half of the responsibility in terms of health.
Yeah.
Just because that's 50% of the load. But I think what's happened, at least in the past, is that this long-term toxicity is passed multiple generations. So yeah. If you look at like families that have been through wars, for example, or that got westernized and liberated and civilized early and got all of these toxic products in the 50s and the 60s and were told that vaccines were great early and were taking antibiotics and birth control and whatever, like early on.
Mm-hmm.
This stuff has passed on, has been causing damage silently
and yeah.
passed on, because we always think about the toxicity that we have personally given to ourselves and the problems we've caused ourselves. But when we're having children, this is all passed down. This can be multi-generational DNA damage. Then it's just amplified. And then the immune system's already in a bit of a dangerous position.
Yeah.
And then we hit them right away with vaccines and other medications. And
That's really interesting. And I bet Tony could probably shed some light on further back in time on this topic, because I forgot about that. You know, my grandmother, mm-hmm. she was a very sickly one too. Like, everybody thought she was a hypochondriac because that's mm-hmm. all she talked about was all her symptoms, and she was always dealing with stuff. And a few years, maybe by the time I was like 34, it dawned on me, I think my grandma was gone by then, I went, oh my God, this is what my grandma went through. And it didn't just start with her. My great-grandmother, her mother, she lived in the prairies of Alberta.
Uh-huh.
And I remember something strange about her, that whenever there was an electrical storm, she would like run for cover. She would unplug as soon as she could. If she saw or felt the storm coming, she'd unplug all like the toaster or any gadgets that were in the house. They wouldn't have had much back then. And then she'd go in the bedroom and just wait for the storm to pass. I don't know if she would turn the power off to the whole house or not, but if she didn't do that, if she was just a couple feet away from like the toaster and there was an electrical storm, she would get, there'd be like this electrical charge between her and the toaster, and it would hurt her.
Wow.
I think my sister knows more detail on that. I'll have to ask her. So, I mean, maybe she was affected by heavy metals or nano or something. So that had been the early 1900s. So what were they doing back then? I'm not really sure. Like I said, Tony probably would know. We'll have to ask him when he comes back.
A lot of tinkering around.
Yeah.
A lot of tinkering around, and especially for the older generations. I mean, my great-grandmother and my great-great-grandparents in general lived through a lot of wars.
Yeah.
And so even if, you know, they lived a whatever more traditional lifestyle, I think because of those war times, because of moving around, you know, being even in a way a refugees at that time.
Yeah.
That all of that's water, food, air, you know,
yeah.
the whole thing, whatever chemical weapons they were testing at the time.
Mm-hmm. So totally.
Very interesting. Okay, so we're up to now, you're mid-20s, 25, 26, you're getting a little bit better, but still suffering symptoms, getting weaker.
Mm-hmm.
What happens from there, and how does that process come to where you finally get to that moment, that eureka moment where things turn for you?
Yeah, I'd say it was probably more like in my early 30s. So about
7 years later.
Yeah. In about 2012. In 2012, I went to South Korea to go teach English. And I saw a clinic there. So I was having stomach problems. I saw a clinic there. It was an Oriental medical clinic. So I decided to go in. And first they gave me some herbs, and the herbs didn't do anything. So I went back and I said, herbs didn't do anything. So they said, well, you need something more heavy duty. So they suggested I do moxibustion. And moxibustion, in case you guys are wondering what that is, they take a herb, usually it's mugwort, and put it in these bowls with a little bit of a screen on the bottom. They burn the herb and put the bowl with that space against your skin so that the smoke from the herb can seep in through your skin. So that's how the medicine gets in. So I did that for about a month, and I had some major die-off. That included a little bit of acupuncture at the same time. And had some major die-off symptoms. But after that passed, I started to feel really good. Like I had energy and my mind was awake. Like I was so used to going home after work and just eating and trying to clean up. And then I would just lay and flop down on the bed. And that was pretty much it for the rest of the day. And after
a
month of this...
How many people currently now do you think are doing that without even realizing that they could be living a better life? Millions
of
people in the Western world.
I think so. And you know, the crappy thing about that is it comes on so gradually, and then you get gaslit by doctors telling or family that, you know, you're fine. To this point, I was like, I don't know, I think it might be psychosomatic because maybe I'm making this up. Because I couldn't find an answer to it. And I think a lot of people are in that place where they're so sick, they don't realize how sick they are.
And we're told it's normal.
Yeah.
We're literally told it's normal. And, you know, if it's fine, eat that cake. And it's fine, you know, drink that beer or whatever. And nobody wants to talk about how they're actually suffering. And, you know, we could be living a much better life.
Yeah. Well, once I started to really realize I was sickly, I didn't talk about it much either. I mean, the only person who really knew, other than my mother, for example, I talked to on the phone, was the boyfriend I lived with for a few years, because he saw me going through it. But so yeah, after I went to this, I remember thinking to myself, this is the last time I'm going to a doctor, to this Oriental medical clinic. And then it helped. And I went, oh my goodness, it's not all in my head. There is something physical going on because I feel so much better. And then the end of my teaching contract was coming up, and I decided to go back to Canada. So I phased out the treatments. I went less and less, so saving money to go back home. And there's sort of a side story here that I could maybe talk about another time, but right before I left the country, I had some sort of attack. Now that I look back at it, it was like some kind of probably an activation of the nanoparticles in the body. I thought I was up for days in major pain, and I felt like there was like snakes or bugs crawling through my body.
Wow.
That's what it felt like. And that...
Go to a doctor and tell them that. I mean, what does a doctor tell you if you tell them that, you know, you think there's snakes crawling around inside of you?
Or parasites. That's what I was thinking. It must be parasites. And you know what I did? So this was right before I left Korea, going back to Canada. And I thought, okay, now I can tell the doctors something. Because, you know, I went to this clinic and it helped. And so I sort of got some evidence, I guess, that something is actually wrong with me. And this attack was still going on when I got back to Canada. So I went to the hospital, to emergency, and I tried to tell a doctor what was going on. And she just, I don't know, she listened to me for a while, and then she left. I said, can you test me for something like celiac? I said, I'm pretty sure I've been tested for this. She did the blood test. She came back. She said, you're negative. And she goes, you know, I think somebody just really needs to hear your story. And I'm like, what? What does she mean? And then I realized, then she started blabbing about seeing my family doctor. And I went, okay, she's not going to help me. That's what she means. So that was pretty much it. I had one more incident where I was in visiting my parents on the other side of the country, and my father said, well, why don't you go see these doctors at this clinic? They're really good there. It's like, no, Dad, I don't think I want to do that. You know, they're not really helping. No, no, go see them. So I said, okay, I'll go. So I went, same thing. Tried to squeeze my story in within like the 5 or 10 minutes that you got. Mm. And almost everything I said, this doctor was like, oh, well, this happens sometimes. Oh, well, lots of people get that. Oh, that happens. I said, well, what about, I said, I'm in pain. Mm. Oh, yeah, that happens. People get older. So, well, what about, he had these, I had aging spots on my back.
Wow.
And I said, what about that? I mean, I was only 34. And, oh, hang on. MS says, do you guys have good audio? Can you guys hear us okay? I know there's a little bit of crackling, but I don't know. Just let us know if we get too faded out or something. You hear us now? Okay, good. Yeah, just love it when they say, oh, people get older. That's exactly what this lady said to me.
Getting older is like a bit of a hoax. Getting older really just means that you're becoming more and more toxic, and maybe your body's not getting the nutrition it needs, or, you know, you've been hit with this technology that slowly your immune system starts, you know, falling behind.
Yeah.
And that, I think that's what really is aging.
Yeah. And I said another thing, the last thing I said to her was, well, what about my memory? I said, my memory is horrible. She goes, well, that happens when people get older. I said, I'm 34. She goes, you look fine. You're fine.
Oh my God.
And I was just in shock. Like, I was in shock for like 10 minutes. And again, she's bibbidi boppity saying something. And I was trying to process it in my mind as I'm walking out of the hospital. By the time I got to the car, I was really pissed off. And I was just imagining myself going back in there and punching that woman in the nose. Even though I wouldn't do that, but I was imagining it because I realized.
No, I think you should have. if you know her name, I know a guy over there. It's fine.
No, I forget her name now. So that was the last. That was the very last straw in the medical system, mm-hmm. And so then I, that was it.
Would you see that as a turning point?
For sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because then I realized, even though, so back up a little bit, there was some emotional trauma back in 2003 when the symptoms started at the same time, some of those symptoms did go away as I dealt with the emotional stuff, but not all of it, obviously. Most of it did not. And as I was getting some results with the physical stuff on my own without the help of the medical system, I was like, okay, there's something to this and I have to figure this out for myself.
It's interesting because a lot of people think that the emotional and the physical or biological realms are connected, you know, esoterically or through energy or something like that. And that may be, but there's also a very real biological connection, you know, with stress and trauma on our bodies.
Yes.
So looking back, do you think that that could have maybe made you more susceptible or...
Yeah, I do.
Damaged you in some way.
I do believe that. I wondered this too, you know, and I wrote one of my, I think my first blog post was about this. Which one came first, the chicken or the egg? You know, the physical symptoms or the emotional / spiritual problem? And I kind of think it's simultaneous. I know a lot of people in like, if you're leaning more up to the spiritual stuff, they say that sickness starts in the aura, and it may very well, that may be the truth. And then it manifests in the physical, but my suspicion is that it's both at the same time. And if you become a little bit damaged emotionally, I think it can make you more susceptible to the physical infections. Possibly the other way around, but I kind of do think it's simultaneous. Old Fashioned Girl says, so much trauma is held within the body and many people don't acknowledge that. Yeah, check out my blog post called Hilda, you guys. I talk about that a little bit.
That's FionaForHealth.com/Hilda.
/Hilda. Yeah. So, yeah, where were we? Back up to the... I'm almost to the point where I run into Tony. Unless you want to steer it in a different direction.
So from that point where you basically had enough from the medical field,
mm-hmm.
and you're starting to, I think at that point you've released some emotional trauma or dealt with some emotional baggage, and you've mm-hmm. seen some results. Where do you go from there?
Well, I did some more of the physical stuff. I took another job overseas in China, and I went to a Chinese medical hospital, and I got treatment by a very good Chinese professor there. And it's interesting because he had told me that he said the issue that I had was going to take a long time, and that it was common among people of the West, and it was emotional based as well. So that was quite interesting to hear that from a doctor, you know, a Chinese doctor, of course. You wouldn't hear that from the allopathic ones, I don't think.
Oh no,
not many anyway. And so I finished that short contract and went back to Canada, and then my health really crashed. I went, mm-hmm. I just was like having major panic attacks, couldn't make it to work. My memory was messed. I was in a lot of pain, and I was at a point where I was thinking to myself, oh my goodness, I don't want my friend, my roommate to find me dead in my bed. I would hate that. And so I ended up.
You must have felt very, very horrible at that time, emotionally, hope-wise.
It was, I don't know, like, I can't remember what my, yeah, I guess I was, because I actually was on the phone with one of my parents, and they're like, well, tell me what the hell's wrong with you, like, what is it exactly? And so I started to list everything, and I broke down crying, and they went, oh, okay, this is serious. And then my parents, yeah, because they were on the other side of the country, and then they both my parents really helped me a lot. My mom came out and lived with me for a bit, and eventually we decided we were going to go back to Nova Scotia because her main job was there, and my dad was there with my stepmom. So I went to live with my father and stepmother, and they took care of me and helped me with some naturopathic treatments that pulled me out of being super sick. And it was that year that I got a Lyme disease diagnosis, and one of the guys I met in the Lyme disease group, support group in Victoria, he had Tony Pantelresco listed as one of his, you know, go-tos for resources. So that's where I started to like use some of the remedies and stuff that Tony was putting out there.
Mm-hmm. So how old are you at this point?
35 or 36.
Wow. So you've been suffering
about 12 years
yeah. of this horror. Wow.
Well,
and it sounds to me like what was happening is that you'd get a little bit better and then get worse.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes. It was like, it was a continuous downhill with a few ups, you know, going, yeah, exactly. And so...
Uh-huh. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, let's see Vicky's question. What were some of the natural methods you used when you went back to your father's? Mainly, I got naturopathic treatment. So I had already been doing some naturopathic treatments before I got the Lyme diagnosis back on the West Coast. And I was doing IVs of peroxide because they figured it was some kind of systemic bacterial infection, but they weren't sure what.
Oh,
And
right.
yeah, and so the naturopath in BC got me on the peroxide, and then he said, you know what, maybe you should get tested for Lyme because you sound a lot like my Lyme patients. And so that's what I did.
That's
What's
very interesting. Peroxide.
Yeah.
I might be mistaken, but I think whatever they gave you would have been an oxidizer.
Yes.
So that would have just caused more damage that your body probably wouldn't have been able to deal with at the time.
Well, I think I was also taking vitamin C and other antioxidants, if I can remember right. But once I got the Lyme diagnosis and went back to Nova Scotia, where my father and stepmother are living, I saw another naturopath there, and I went on 3 months. It was 3 months straight of ozone IV along with laser IV, which probably wouldn't do anymore, the laser anyway. Oh, I still like ozone. I did something called low dose immunotherapy, and then I was on herbs. After 3 months of doing IVs, my arms were too tired, so I just said, just, give me something else. So I was taking
Wow.
herbs, and within a year I got tested again, and I, instead of just the Lyme disease, I had a co-infection. It's called like another infection, Bartonella. Vicky mentioned Tony says Lyme is nano. I think it is. I don't believe that Lyme disease is a fully organic disease. It's totally another bioweapon.
Yeah, at least enabled
Yeah.
ailment or illness or issue. So
Yeah.
you discovered Tony,
Yeah.
and what happened from there?
Well, at first, I was just doing some of the remedies. I think I, made some iodine and a couple other things.
And
It was in
yeah, for the thyroid issues
2017.
as well.
Yeah. In 2017, I called up Tony for the first time for a consult, and I saw his. Oh, and I made the fan. I managed to actually make the fan, and I was. He said, do the bucket and cut out the grains and all the stuff that he tells everybody to do to start. So I went hunting around for the supplies to get the bucket, and I had such a hard time finding the stuff. I was so brain fogged and tired and everything. And finally, I just called him up. I'm like, can I just buy you the bucket? So I bought the bucket from him. I used it like once, and then I put it in the closet for 6 months. So I didn't even use it at first. Until later, I was starting to get kind of desperate. I was looking into doing Lyme disease over in Germany, which costs like thousands of dollars, like 40,000 bucks. And then I decided not to do that and to go with the naturopathic treatment again and start doing this bucket thing. Because I was listening to Tony's podcast too, and I'm like, okay, I gotta do this. I just gotta try it out. And it was 2018. I started using the bucket once a week, cut out as much of nano food as I could. And I think that was about it. I just cut out as much as I could. And I was using the bucket. And within 3 months, my periods became normal.
Wow,
That
just
was a
3 months.
big eye opener. Yeah. And only 1 hour a week. I only did it 1 hour a week.
Wow, only. Wow.
Yeah.
I think that's it's a common theme actually a little bit where, especially with people that are new to the anti-nano devices, they just use it once and then it's like they forget about it. And I remember personally back in the day when, when Tony first released that video in 2016, 20 or 2015, where he says in that video, you do not have the luxury of being ignorant in the year 2015. And here we are 8 years later. But And, you know, 5 years after that, suddenly Nano became all the rage.
Yeah.
And, you know, now everyone talks about it. Like, Tony was
Isn't
there
it?
way before anybody else. But
Yes.
yeah, it seems like a thing where personally, like when my family made it at that time, we had no way of of knowing that it was working. So we didn't even know the
Yeah.
magnet test, for example, where you put it and you inside the bucket and you see it pulsing. We had no idea that, you know, we may not see results immediately.
Right.
You know, it was like, oh, I remember putting my feet in for 15 minutes and being like, oh yeah, it's, I mean, we put a lot of vinegar in it. So I was like, oh
Yeah.
yeah, I felt the vinegar and that's it.
Yeah.
So I would encourage anyone, especially I know, well, especially I know Tony has a lot of new people all the time. And you know, now that Tony's on Podbean and everything, a lot of people don't realize the importance of his old YouTube channel. So if you go
Yeah.
into YouTube and you search Herbs Plus PLUS Beadworks, and you just go to that video, the search function on his YouTube doesn't work. He's very clearly shadow banned. All his videos have been getting taken down. But I believe the anti-nano device video is still up. Go and watch that video. That video is absolutely legendary for anyone that wants to understand a simple introduction that doesn't only talk about, you know, the science, let's say, but it also really connects things together. So I
Yeah.
would recommend anybody just to watch that anti-nano video. It's very entertaining. I mean, it's an hour. You'll finish them real quick.
Yeah. Another good video of his is the one on, I just lost it now. He's reading a document on, I just forgot what it's called. Some kind of, there's like a company or an organization that like they changed the definition of organic. Anyway,
Oh,
it's, oh, I think it's called something
I
for the
remember that one.
skeptics.
Info for the Skeptics.
Something like that.
That's
Yeah, yeah.
some info for the Skeptics 9 years ago. It's a 36-minute video.
Yeah, that's a really good one to
Yeah,
watch.
it's incredible because, you know, I understand that Tony's getting lots of new people, you know, coming all the time. But it's incredible, you know, when we still hear the same thing of like, oh, but it's organic, it's all natural.
It's natural,
Like,
yeah.
that video is 9 years ago. I mean, Tony made a full presentation an hour long about glyphosates. And
Yeah.
this is, I mean, we can talk so much about how the agricultural system is absolutely just producing dead, toxic food.
I think it's
It's
pretty
not
cool
just.
too that you've had Tony on your radar since way back then, and you're not very old, so it's been like much of your life that you've seen his stuff,
Yeah, I grew up listening to him basically.
right?
Because
That's
yeah,
cool.
my mother used to play, Helen used to play him, and I wasn't actually because he swore a lot. I wasn't actually even supposed to hear him, but she used to listen to him that much that I would, you know, the intro music to his old videos is like nostalgic for me.
Right.
So,
That's funny.
Nanu,
Yeah.
like that sound of my childhood. So at this point you're desperate. It's been 6 months and you get out the anti-nano bucket and you're doing it only an hour a week and you're already seeing results.
Yeah. Well,
What do you
I
do from?
didn't. Yeah. 1 hour a week
Good
for 3 months.
program.
At first, I did start to see stuff come out of my body like right away. And that for me was the vaginal stuff. Like I was seeing, I thought it was candida, but it wasn't. And I've got, if you guys have seen a couple of my talks with Tony, I think I put pictures up. It's on a couple different videos and I dried them. And it actually, they're little bundles of thread, they're like fine thread. So that stuff was coming out of my, probably the uterus and the vagina and all that stuff. And so no wonder I had such horrible periods for years, like 8 years. It was just treacherous. And then one day, you know, the light goes and I'm like, holy crap, no pain. Wow.
Incredible.
And so that was the first really big, okay, something is definitely working here. And then it was, I started to slowly get stronger. Instead of trying to exercise, even going as gentle as possible, it would just end up in pain and I'd be in bed for a couple of days after. That stopped. I was actually feeling my muscles regenerate. Like, you know that feeling where you go to the gym and you work out and the next day you're like, you're a little sore, you're a little stiff, but it's that good kind of stiff. That started to come back.
You're being pumped with growth hormone and all of this regenerative chemistry. Hormones. Beautiful. For anyone interested, the pictures you just mentioned, it's on you can put the link if you like. But it's on your interview with Tony Fiona for Health in conversation with Tony Pantelaresco, August 2022. And it's about 12 minutes in, and you have a document called Nano Fiona Dry.
Oh, you've got
a bunch of stuff in there.
You're prepared. Holy crap.
But I also like that. Because, you know, I've talked with some what we get out in the bucket or the bath. And for some people, it can be like a bit hard to discern. Okay, I'm seeing this stuff. What is it? Is it just random grains of sand that are, you know, impurities from my salt, for example? You know, the salt that I put in the bath. Or is this just fluff that was on my body, you know, fibers in my clothes? But with things coming out of there, that's incredibly clear, like, that this had a great cause and effect.
Yeah.
Could not be attributed to fluff from your socks.
Oh, no. And
this is, like, absolutely provable.
Totally. And, you know, I hope you guys don't mind. This crossed my mind today when we were talking about doing this. You know, there's lots of women in here and there's lots of people who know women, so I'm going to talk more about my vagina, okay? So don't get too scared.
Tony's going to love you anyway. Tony's going to be listening back to this going, woo!
Yeah, probably. Well, the thing that, like, it blew my mind and kind of scared me a little bit was the first time I really used the bucket. I went and had a bath, and, you know, when you're a woman and the bath water goes in, it also comes out, and it rinsed out like a whole bunch of that white stuff, and that had never happened before. It, like, a tub was like full of it. I was like, oh my God, what is this? What is this stuff? So there was no question that it did that, and it continued to do that. So, and I've heard other women having the clotting as well. Like, they see when they have their periods, they have like clots, and that's what that is. It's those fibers.
Okay. So definitely use the anti-nano devices, ladies.
Yeah.
This is not a joking matter. This just occurred to me, actually. I know we've spoken about this before, but I think we could actually really help some people here, because you'd be actually shocked how many people in Tony's wider community are actually vegans or are on plant-based diets, not for religious reasons, just because they think it's better. So I know you had some experience with veganism. What was that like?
Well, I did go somewhat vegetarian at a young age. I just kind of stopped enjoying meat. Like, my parents were big meat eaters. We had meat like pretty much every day. And I stopped eating the things like hamburgers and hot dogs and sausage. I'd have the occasional steak and chicken. And then I moved to a new school and I had friends who were vegetarian for animal rights reasons. And I could see their point of view and I hopped on that train. But after high school, I realized I wasn't being a very good vegetarian. My mom's like, you're not eating enough protein. And she gave me a book. And I decided, well, I'm going to keep eating fish. I love eating fish. I don't want to give it up. So I kept seafood in my diet. And at that time, I was still eating eggs and dairy. I just didn't eat the other meat.
How much eggs were you eating?
Oh, only a few per week. Yeah, not very much. But at that time also, before I found out I had the thyroid issue, I was eating some of the soy stuff, like the soy beef and the soy dogs. And then I read about estrogen and, you know, having too much estrogen. I quit that stuff. That's when I was like, okay, I'm going to eat more fish. And throughout the years, that's all I did. I most, you know, somewhat vegetarian. And then it was in 2014 when I was super sick, when my mother was living with me, my naturopath at the time said, you know, why don't you try the GAPS diet, G-A-P-S, gut and psychology syndrome. And it's, you know, lots of meat and bone broth and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I could do that. But I was at such a point that I thought, you know, I might die. So maybe I'll just try this. My mom was elated. She's like, yay, I can cook normal food again rather than all this, you know, kale and quinoa for my daughter. So I started to eat meat and I didn't really go back because it helped.
That would have it also, you know, the, when we talk about, you know, the this vegan plant-based diet, you know, this is topics that drives me a little bit crazy. You know, I'm a little bit less tactful when we talk about this because there's so much proof that we need animal fats and protein, not only for, you know, the things that are somewhat unique or better in animals, like we're talking about, you know, more protein, getting iron, B12, more fat. The fat is, this fat is then turned into cholesterol, right? We know cholesterol and, you know, inflammation, but not only that, then cholesterol, whether you're a man or a woman, will be converted through multiple chemical processes into testosterone and estrogen. So it's very important for hormonal regulation, for, you know, the fat, when the body has toxins, oftentimes the body will try and encapsulate it with fat. And so if we're not intaking enough fat, you know, vegans say, oh, because I eat olives and for protein I have beans. Not enough. And not only that, another point of this is that even the regular things that you can get from like plants, vitamins, whatever. I mean, there isn't a vegan that isn't on supplements. But what you have is because you're eating a living being. Sorry, vegans. I like eating. I like eating ex-living beings. But animals, those are. But because they had their own digestion, they have, when you eat the meats, you have better absorption, you know, better broken zinc and selenium or whatever it is, you know, important vitamins and minerals that we don't need to digest as much. Not only that, with the organs, because in nanotoxicology, there's a lot of filtering that can go on with the nano that the immune system may be able to detect. So there's a lot of accumulation in the heart, the liver, the spleen, maybe the lungs, etc. And a plant doesn't have this protection system. But with an animal, of course, you get a lot of this filtering. Of course, there's going to be still a lot of nanotechnology, nanoparticulate matter in the tissues, especially from regular agriculture. Chemtrails are a thing anyway, water, food, whatever. But with animals, we can get maybe 5%, maybe 10% reduction. Like, I'll take that personally. I'll take that, you know, as an added benefit.
So, old fashioned girl says she eats eggs every day, but just doesn't. I don't feel like eating meat, and I'm pretty healthy and fit. And your body, maybe that's all you need. Maybe you need just eggs every day, and olive oil or something like that.
Maybe. I know these guys that they came to me, and they've been suffering, you know, for 4 years, lack of energy, like really, really, really bad lack of energy, migraines, and the husband has a chronic fever. He's had a chronic fever for 4 years, you know, temperature in his head.
Oh, and my goodness.
They're going on about, you know, synthetic biology and nanotechnology, and it could be this, and they're getting very complicated. And, you know, they went to Brian 396 as well, and it's like, it could be this weaponized technology, and it could be chemtrails and smart dust and blah, blah, blah. Mm. And I kept on digging with them for, you know, over a number of emails, over a number of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, after maybe 2 months of talking, it turns out that the couple has been vegan for 20 years.
Wow.
And so I'm sitting here thinking, wait, you're complaining.
Maybe.
Like, you're suffering all of these stuff. And it's like, you're way overcomplicating, because I understand we, you know, we have ways of rationalizing, and we sometimes we don't take a step back and question our fundamental beliefs. And
well,
her reasoning of like being on a plant-based diet was so weak. There wasn't even that much conviction. She's like, oh, you know, the blood type diet, and it was recommended to us. Well, the blood type diet has been you know, refuted anyways, and proven to be a lot more nuanced than what it was originally thought. So, like, let's just go back to the basics a little bit. Anyway, she disappeared. She never responded to me again. So
I'm sure that there's information out there, like, and I've heard other vegetarians saying, you know, you just said a minute ago, there's all kinds of data out there to support that we need to eat meat. And I've heard the exact same thing from vegetarians and vegans. Well, there's lots of data out there to support that we don't need to eat meat. I'm not sure what they're reading. I haven't read it all. So, yeah, I mean, if there is an agenda to get us off meat, then there's going to be some information out there that's, you know,
you can going to push one way or the other. People a lot. There's some resources from the Weston A. Price Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So Weston Price did a lot of research on traditional cultures and why they were all, you know, in their natural settings and lifestyle, very healthy, and they had very good jaws, very good teeth. And he couldn't understand it because all of these different cultures ate so, so differently.
Right.
And the only common factor that he could discern is that they were all incorporating animal product of some sort or another. And it's like, yes.
So that could be eggs and dairy?
I guess it could. Listen, I don't know. I don't claim to be an expert on dietary nutrition. I just know what works for me, and I know some basic science on that.
Yeah. Well, does anybody
incredibly think amazing? You know, choline, you have the plenty of cholesterol as well, so great for hormonal regulation. Fat.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like my meat. I like my fat. Do what works for you. But if you're not eating red meat and you're suffering a little bit, then I'd suggest maybe try a little bit. Maybe you don't need to eat meat. How about bone broth? Bone broth is like the old school. Bone broth and raw milk, unpasteurized milk, is like the, and raw eggs as well, is the those three together are like the old school bodybuilders nutrition. Mm.
I ran into, at least, well, I knew I had a friend who had a similar issue with stomach problems. She was vegetarian for a while, or actually maybe vegan. And when she moved in with a boyfriend who ate meat, she started to eat meat and she didn't have those problems anymore. And then another woman I met at a health show, we got talking about it. She said, oh, I used to be vegetarian too, but she said I was sick for so long, and eventually I started to eat meat again. She goes, you know what I can't get enough of now? She says, bacon fat. She goes, I have to have bacon fat. So, I mean, I'm not saying this is evidence to evidence to it, but it's just interesting when you hear people's stories about their health improving a little bit when they get that back in their diet to some degree. It doesn't have to be every meal. Yeah.
Okay, so it's now 2017, 2018. You've been doing the bucket for a while. And you're getting better.
Yep.
So from there, you know, looking back, what were the big points for your healing, for that turning, and I guess bringing it to now, like, what are you doing now to maintain your health?
Well, after I started to see the bucket working, then I was listening a little more carefully at, you know, to Tony's show and following the breadcrumbs, because I didn't believe everything he said either. I was like, what? What? I don't know about that. So I went and looked myself, and I'm like, holy cow, I think he's right on a lot of things. And one of them was the EMF, like exposure. And I was living in a tall building surrounded by other tall buildings and a bunch of towers. And I had made a friend who was in electronics, and he's like, yeah, you're pretty much in a microwave here. So I went, okay, I have to change that. So I did. I moved to a farm. And
oh, beautiful.
Yeah, and I started to sleep so much better. I started to heal even more. And so then I knew that was a thing. I started making, like, the EMF. Like, I bought some material and made a little headscarf and a little poncho and stuff like that. And but by
with
about
the,
20...
Is that, like, with the copper, fabric?
I used nickel, but yeah, same thing. I used nickel fabric.
Nickel. Does that work?
It does, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then 2019 or so, I was still having problems with major migraines. So I managed to find a doctor, medical doctor, who worked alongside a naturopath. And I got tested for Lyme again, Lyme and all the co-infections. It was negative this time. And I got tested for heavy metals, and those were sky high. So I did chelation therapy with those doctors for about a year. Still doing the bucket and the triangle. And since then, it's just, I've just been getting better and better. And I do the same things. I do all the same things now. Like, I'll do maybe a couple of weeks in the winter and a couple of weeks in the summer or spring of, like, the STS drink for a few weeks. Or I'll choose, like, the last few weeks, for example, I've been alternating drinking STS at night for a couple of days, and then I'll give myself a day or two break, and then I'll do an ozone enema, and then I'll go back, do STS a couple of days, and then ozone enema. And I do I still use the spike and the bucket and the triangle and all that stuff. So it's just kind of like, unfortunately, we have to keep doing this over and over again because we're absorbing it all the time. But I've managed to get ahead of it. So that's why I'm like, that's what fired me up to start talking to people about it. Because I'm like, I was told I was going to be sick for the rest of my life, and I thought that I would. But I was like,
that's
too stubborn.
Perfect. Tell me, like, give me, like, the summary of the night to day changes between, you know, your worst moments, you know, everything that you were experiencing, the weirdest symptoms that you were experiencing, and now, or, you know, when you really felt like you were actually getting ahead.
Well, back at my worst, I spent a lot of time in bed. I had a lot of alone time to, like, kind of go inside, and it was very, like, I have to say I probably faced my death, because I knew that it was possible that I wasn't going to wake up the next time I went for a nap and went to bed. And it wasn't scary, it wasn't I don't remember exactly how I felt at the time, but I knew I had to, that's what I was dealing with. I was like, okay, this very well could be it for me. I was lucky I had my parents to help me. And then, like, just such a stark difference, you know, when I started to, because I couldn't do anything, couldn't work, couldn't remember things. I was in pain all the time. Looking from up to now, I still deal with some symptoms, like everybody else probably, but not nearly as bad. And I kind of know, because I've dug into documents and websites and research stuff, this totally opened my eyes to the world. It wasn't, to me now, I thought it was just a sickness. You know, I thought it was a bacterial infection. Whereas now it's like, holy cow, like all of these little agendas come together. You know, if you guys ever see, Ilana Freeland has a book, she's got three books on this topic, but the latest one's called Geoengineered Transhumanism. It's like, it's like an encyclopedia of all the stuff that we hear Colin talk about with the nanotech, the chemtrailing, space fence and everything like that. I didn't know any of that stuff before, and I never would have thought that it existed. And I mean, of course, there's some bullshit that's probably laced in those stories too, but it's, I'm not sure what I'm trying to get at. I guess I just, my perception is different.
And how's your health?
Way better. I mean, I still deal with symptoms. And I have to keep on top of it. But from what I hear from this community and people who've done this kind of thing for a long time, they still have to do it too. They're still dealing with stuff. But they've also seen improvement. So
constantly exposed.
Right.
And it's only getting more and more day by day.
It seems like it. But I have a lot more optimism. Sorry, but
that's good. Everybody's like, yay.
Yeah.
Some happy ones.
Yeah, I don't know. My energy just, I fluctuate too. Just like I fluctuate. I sometimes go, oh my goodness, there's so many things wrong. But as long as I keep putting one foot in front of the other and taking steps to make my life better, and hopefully that will permeate out to other people, then there is an energetic component to this as well. Like, you know, we were talking about the emotional side of things, and that does come into play. And I don't have the answers to that. That's part of my journey still too, is I'm coming full circle back around to the emotional, spiritual connection to all of this stuff that's happening. Yeah.
And what's your approach with your clients? You know, someone, I come to you and I say, you know, I'm suffering, whatever. How do you approach that? Do you have a way of looking at these things?
Well, I see what's going on with them first. And if it looks like they could benefit from doing this same process, and they, you know, most people already have a bit of an idea of it because they've listened to this, you know, Tony's show, or they've come to my website or another person's similar website. And I give them the document that I give to people and say, like, this is the kind of the lowdown here. Here's all the links. You can do this and that. And I just try to give them a synopsis of, you know, kind of the whole hour and a half we've been talking, and, you know, I did get better from a bad place, and I think you can too if you do the work. And it's simple steps, but it's it can be difficult when you're really brain fogged. So I try to just, I try to keep it as simple as possible. Yeah. And get them started on the devices and taking care of their EMF environment. I like to mention Dr. Dietrich Klinghardt. He's a Lyme doctor, and he tells his patients, like, you have to get, you can't have a high electrosmog environment and come into my program because it just won't work. You won't get better. So
Is
that's
there
what I
one
do.
little tip that you could give us that might be a small thing but have a good return?
Well, back to the spiritual side of things, I suppose, is, I mean, take care of the physical stuff, like what we're doing with the devices and your food and everything. But if you have something that feeds your soul, then keep doing that, because that's part of it.
That's beautiful advice.
Yeah. Don't leave that part out.
I know there. I know this is maybe a bit out of the blue, but I was wondering if you had any stories maybe you could tell us about clients who, you saw their transformation.
Let me think. Well, there's a lady that was in my class last year. I don't know what she's had for symptom changes, but she ran with it. Like, she built both of the devices. She's now built the spike. She was emailing me all the time, and I think she was emailing Tony too, and she's like, I gotta get into this. It's, this is it. And so she's, I don't know if she's in here. Let's see. I've never seen her name in here, but she probably listens. But let me think. I can't remember right now. I know I've had people email me, say that they're in progress. It's only been about a year that I've been, or maybe a year and a half that I've been teaching this process. And one thing I do have to tell people is that it doesn't happen overnight. I mean, like, for me, it was 3 months before I saw major symptom changes, right? And it was a year before I was like getting stronger. So I still have yet to hear from a few people.
So I want to book a consultation with you. How do I do that?
Well, we're talking right now, Zach. Just kidding. Just my website, fionaforhealth.com/contact. There's a phone number, there's an email address, and there's a link you can book a call. Or just email Fiona at fionaforhealth.com. Yeah.
Easy. I'll be in contact.
Okay, I'm sure we will.
Wonderful.
Well,
One more
should we? Yeah, go ahead.
question. What was the weirdest symptom you remember having? Like the weirdest, I know you talked about feeling like
Ooh.
things crawling inside of you, but what was
Yeah.
there anything else that was just so out of the ordinary or triggered by something that you normally wouldn't associate with like triggering symptoms?
Yes, other than that weird, like really weird moment, a few days where that stuff was crawling around me, that was probably the worst. But the weirdest one was I had these circles appear on my legs one day. And this was a few, maybe a couple months after I started using the bucket. So it didn't come from the bucket. I don't know if I've ever shown these pictures, but I woke up one day and the inside of my calves had looked like someone had taken a stamp and stamped my legs on both legs. Wow. It was a circle. It was a red rash type of circle with white in the middle.
Wow.
Not to be confused with like the bullseye rash of a tick bite. Mm-hmm. It was a perfect circle on the exact same part of both of my legs. And I had no explanation for it. Mm-hmm. I did send the pictures to Tony, actually, and he said that it looked like some kind of nano construct coming out of the skin. And I was like, what? It could have been that. It must have been because it was, that's the only thing I can, the only explanation I know of that makes sense. Some people ask me, I asked a couple of friends, what do you think this is? They're like, were you holding an item between your legs and it made an imprint? Mm. I said, no, I woke up with it and it stayed there for about 2 weeks.
Wow.
And it gradually faded, but it faded in a way that at one point I'm like, oh, it's gone. I can't really see it anymore. And then I would change the angle of my head. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, it is still there. And then I'd put my head back up. And it was hard to see again. You know, like those pictures that the picture changes when you move from side to side? Mm-hmm. It reminded me of that.
Wow.
That's really weird.
Some nano properties in there.
And I know other people have had that type of thing. I know a woman who has MS. She's been diagnosed with MS. She has those same circles all over her abdomen.
Wow.
There's no explanation for it.
No. You're just delusional, right? We're all just delusional conspiracy theorists. Delusional parasitosis. You know, I think as always, Tony has something to say about that.
Mm-hmm. What does he say?
Nanu! That's what Tony says.
Well, I think that's a good way to end the show.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much for your time, Fiona, and telling us
your story. Thank you,
Zach. You know, that was quite an incredible, incredible journey that you've been through.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for listening, you guys, in the chat there. We see you there. Everybody's so quiet tonight. I hope we didn't put you to sleep. No.
No, definitely not. I think listening to some of the things you've been through would really connect with a lot of people. I heard Cherie once say that she listened to Tony because, and I quote, he was the only one who understood what I was going through. And there's a lot of people start suffering these weird things and are called crazy. You know, when they find people that understand, we understand exactly what you're talking about and what you've been through. And you know, we've been through that too. I think we can make that connection and make a change for the better.
Yeah. And people can realize that, no, it's not all in your head. You know, there is something you can do about it. Right. Mm-hmm. All right, Zach, it's been nice chatting. So, I guess I'll see you in a few days.
Yeah.
Hopefully Tony will give us an update soon.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll be back soon.
Yeah, praying for him to be better. I think you need to say the speech of like, we're here by the grace of God. And until the next
show. What does he say? To your health.
Until the next show, to your health.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Thanks, Jack. Zach. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.